right, John chapter number 6. Appreciate Brother McVeigh. I've just got to meet him, and he told me he only needed about 10 minutes after I get done. And so he said I had about 3 hours, and he just needed 10 minutes. So I'll take 2 hours. That's right, 2 hours and 40. 2 hours and 40. Well, you said 2 hours and 50 minutes. So, no, but I appreciate it. He did say that back there, but it was the other way around. Wasn't that right, brother? So appreciate the church. Good to be back in services with you once again. Appreciate your faithful support of our family. And appreciate your prayers, always asking about our daughter and how she's doing. And just appreciate good friends in the house of the Lord. Appreciate the family of God, don't you? And so John chapter number 6, feel like this is where the Lord have us to be. Let's stand, if you would, John chapter number 6. Let's stand reverence to the reading of God's Word. We're going to read down through about verse number 15. If you can stand that long, I want to let you know how long we'd be reading. John chapter number 6. And the Bible says in verse number 1, after these things Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples, and the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company coming to him, he saith unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many? And Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world. Let's pray. Father, I need your help tonight. I thank you, Lord, for the good preaching we've already heard thus far. And Lord, I stand here in need of your help and your power. I've tried to study and pray and seek your face. And I pray tonight that you'd speak through me exactly what your people need from the Word of God. I pray you convict sinners. I pray that you deal with their hearts tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. I want to look here at this text here tonight, and we talk about familiar places in the Word of God, and this is probably a familiar place in the Word of God, of the great miracles that Jesus done while he was here, and Jesus done his miracles to show that he was the Son of God. And the Bible tells us in John chapter number 20, I think it's around verse number 21, John said, in many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his, or many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. He said, but these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. Amen. I believe that's the reason the whole Bible is written. We've heard about here in this service, we've heard a lot about knowing Jesus, not just knowing about him. And I thank God that I found out about him, but I'm glad for that night that I knew him personally, in a personal way. And I'm glad tonight that it's not just that I know him, but that it's he knows me. Amen. That's what makes the difference. There's going to be a crowd that he's going to say, depart from me. I never knew you. And so tonight we find here in this text, and you pray for me. I've got to get warmed up a little bit, I guess, and try to get the word of the Lord having me to go. But we find out, as my pastor said this morning, and different people have said, that the most important, if I can say it this way, subject in the Word of God is Jesus Christ. Amen. He's the most important figure, the most important character, the most important subject in the Word of God. Now here in John chapter number 6, There could be a lot preached about this lad and how he was willing to give his 5 loaves and 2 fishes and how God took that and used it in a mighty way. And a lot could be said about how many people were fed of the loaves and the fish churches. But in this text, as in any text in the Word of God, if I can get this thing straightened out, amen. As much as in here, the main character of all the Word of God is the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the Bible tells us how that He took the loaves and He broke those loaves and that He kept breaking them and handing them out. And He kept on multiplying. I mean, when He got to the five loaves, I'm sure there was some of those critics that were always there and there's wondering what He was going to do when the five loaves run out, amen. But He kept breaking the loaves and He kept handing them out and He kept feeding people and when the fishes the two small fishes were expired, we might say, He kept handing them out. Hey, He done a great miracle here this day, and He used this miracle, Brother Josh, later on in the text to tell them that the reason they had come was to partake of the loaves and of the fishes. And He told them, "I am the true bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die." I'm glad tonight I've had a drink of the living water. I'm glad I've had the bread of life. Aren't you glad of that tonight? And listen, I want to say thank God. Brother Shepherd preached that message last night on Thou Gavest Me No Kiss. I don't think it's any coincidence, probably for me and for you tonight. That was the second time this week, about 12 hours from here on a Monday morning or a Monday afternoon, a man stood up and read the same text and have the same title, Thou Gavest Me No Kiss. I'll tell you tonight, the Bible said in Psalm 2 and verse number 6, "Kiss the Son, lest He be angry with thee." And He says, "When His wrath is kindled but a little, blessed are they that put their trust in Him." Amen. Hey, tonight, and I'm trying to build up to where I'm going, amen. Brother Bell come in here and he said, "I kissed the Son this morning." And he said, "I kissed Him with thanksgiving." Hey, there's a lot of things we could point out in John chapter number 6. But the Bible said in verse number 11, "And Jesus took the loaves, and when He had given thanks." And tonight, I want to preach on this thought on Jesus, the example of thanksgiving. Jesus, the example of thanksgiving. And tonight, I believe we ought to be more thankful than we've ever been. Amen. I mean, children of God, we ought to be thankful that God would pass by our way and He would save us out of the horrible pit and out of the miry clay. We need to kiss Him with thanksgiving. I say tonight, if you're here lost, you've never been born again, the best thing you can do to kiss the Son of God that He's not angry with you anymore is to believe on Him. It said there, that over there in Psalm 2, it said, "Blessed are they that put their trust in Him." The first kiss you ever take unto God is the kiss of trust and believing on Him. Amen. Outside of that, He's angry with the wicked every day, the Bible says. He's angry at sinners that will not believe on His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe after I got born again that night, I ought to be the most thankful person in the world. Hey, the most thankful man that ever walked this earth, I believe, was the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe He was the most thankful man that ever walked the face of the earth. And every child of God, we have a calling in our life to be thankful. The Bible says in 1 Peter 2:21, "For even hereunto were ye called, because that Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow His steps," amen, "who did no sin, neither was guile found in His mouth, who when He was reviled, reviled not again. When He suffered, He threatened not, but committed Himself unto Him that judgeth righteously." The Bible said, "Who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin might live unto righteousness." This Bible said, "For you as sheep going astray, but a return unto the shepherd and bishop of your soul." I'm telling you tonight, I want to be more thankful than I've ever been that He'd come by my way as a 13-year-old boy at 3 o'clock in the morning, sitting on a bicycle at 1990, afraid my next breath would be in hell, but He passed by where I was at. Amen. Amen. I tell you, Jesus here as a man here in this text, he was the most thoughtful man that ever lived. He saw this multitude, this great company of people, and he looked at Philip and he said, "When shall we buy bread that these may eat?" Hey, the Bible tells us, "What is man that thou art mindful of him?" The most thoughtful man that ever lived, thinking of others before he thought of himself. Isn't that how Jesus was? He is the most hospitable man. I mean, he was man, but he was God. In man, he was thoughtful, but as God, he knew exactly what he is going to do. Isn't that what it said? He himself knew what he was going to do. And listen, he was the most thoughtful man that ever lived. He was the most hospitable man that ever lived. He was not a boastful man. You imagine that crowd? You imagine that crowd? Here's the one that sent a man in the wilderness, and they said, "What is it, amen, sent a man in the wilderness?" Here's the same God that's standing there before them, and Philip answered and said, he said, 200 however many pennyworth of bread's not sufficient, that every one of them may take a little, amen. Philip said, "Whence can we buy bread that these may eat?" And Andrew said, "What are these among so many?" He could have boasted, amen. He wasn't a boastful man. He could have said, right there, he could have said, "Don't you know what I've done? Don't you know how I fed them out there in the wilderness, and their clothes didn't even wear out, and their shoes evidently grew with their feet?" Amen. He could have said, "I'm him." Hey, dear friend, Jesus was not a boastful man. He was not a wasteful man. He said, "Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost." He was a humble man. Amen. He is a humble man. After he'd done this, the Bible said in verse 14, "Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, 'This is of a truth that prophet that should come in the world.' When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone." He knew, Brother Bell, before he takes on an earthly throne, he had to humble himself and become obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. I'm glad, thank God, one day he's going to take an earthly throne on the throne of his father David. But he was a humble man, willing, the Bible says, over there in Psalm 113, "Who is like unto the Lord our God, who humbleth himself to behold the things that are in heaven." Hey, it was humbling just to look around heaven, amen, and to behold the things which are on earth. I'm glad, thank God, for our humble Savior, aren't you? First place I preached this message about Jesus, the example of thankfulness, was in a nursing home, amen. You don't ask many questions in a nursing home. You got to watch out what your answer might be. Amen. And I said, "Well, does anybody think that God ought to be thankful?" And this one elderly lady, she kind of got a puzzled look on her face, and she turned around and looked at me. She said, "Oh, no, we need to be thankful to God." I said, "You're exactly right." But I said, "I'll tell you what God did. God came into this world, born out of a virgin's womb, became a man. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us." And I said, "He was the most thankful man that ever walked the planet, amen." And he's our example tonight of thankfulness. Our nation's in the shape it's in, I believe, most of all because of unthankfulness. The last days, according to 2 Timothy chapter number 3, right there where the Bible says that men should be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unholy, right before unholy, and right after that list said that they'd be unthankful. I'm telling you, this nation's probably had the most gospel preached in it than any other nation. This nation's probably had the most blessings of God than any other nation, and we become the most unthankful generation there's ever been. Amen. And it's in us tonight. Amen. Paul said in Romans chapter 1, verse number 16, he said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." Paul said, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of them that hold the truth and unrighteousness." He said, "Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them." Listen, sinner tonight, you ought to be thankful for a God that put the knowledge of Him inside of your heart. And if you keep suppressing it, you keep pushing it away, listen, God will turn you over at a reprobate mind. You'll end up in hell and the lake of fire tonight. Hey, we see it. We see the Bible said there, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful. I'm telling you what, we're living in a day our nation's in trouble with God. We're either in or headed to the graveyard with the rest of the nations that forgot God. Y'all with me tonight? We're either in the graveyard or headed to the graveyard. I personally believe as a nation we're in the graveyard. And you know what's on the epitaph? You know what's on the epitaph of every nation that's ever forgot God and every nation that was not thankful? You can put on the epitaph, "Neither were thankful." If you're here lost tonight, I tell you, every sinner that's in hell tonight, every God denier, every scoffer, every mocker, every whoremonger that lived their life for them and their lust and their desires, they won't have anything to say against God, because whatever's on their tombstone. I've walked by graveyards and they've got all kinds of things on there, praising people and magnifying people. But I'm telling you, every sinner that dies and goes to hell, here's what God put on their tombstone: "Neither were thankful." Amen. Amen. Bible said, "Neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination." Hey, I don't know what it's like in Noah's day, but I'm telling you what, God sent a worldwide flood, and God's going to send the fire, but it said every imagination of the thoughts of their heart were only evil continually, and it grieved God at His heart. I don't have to wonder what God thinks about this generation, amen. Hey, when we get unthankful, we'll start meddling in vain imagination. Because when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. This generation ain't thankful to Almighty God because they're the enlightened generation. They know better than God. They know better than the Word of God. But the Bible says that they became fools. And the Bible said they changed the image, the incorruptible God, into an image made like the birds and the four-footed beasts and the creeping things. You go from vain imaginations to visible images. Amen. That's where we're at. I mean, you may not see very many that they've thought up in their head and carved out with their hands. Dear friend, I'm telling you, we're living in an idolatrous generation, a generation that does not care about the true and the living God. And when you get those vain imaginations and build up visible images, your God that you can see, you're headed for vile affections. Amen. Bible said there in Romans 1, I'm forgetting the quoteness, so God wants me to read it where I get it just right. Amen. If I can get over there. Amen. But Romans chapter number 1, you don't have to turn. You just listen real fast. Amen. But the Bible says here, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. I tell you who's some of the most unthankful people. A man that can look at his anatomy and say, I'm a woman. Or a woman who can look at her anatomy and say, I'm a man. That's a product of an unthankful generation. Amen. The Bible says here that who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forevermore. And Paul said, amen. And the Bible said, for this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. Also, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burning their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly. I'm telling you what, tonight, God hadn't changed. God hadn't changed, and we're not going to be consumed as children of God. But I'm telling you tonight, if you're a lost sinner, you're going to be consumed in the flames. And when I say consumed, I don't mean you're going to burn up either.
Yeah.
Amen. So tonight, Jesus is our example. I believe we better get caught up on our Thanksgiving, don't you? God said, what's going on? If I'm reading that right, Brother Bill, these vile affections, this wicked day that we're living in, we've got to a point where we're not thankful for God. Amen? I wonder tonight, I thank God for a nation where we have a yearly observance of Thanksgiving, aren't you? I thank God for that, but I'm telling you, we need a daily observance. Not just a yearly observance, but a daily occurrence of being thankful unto Almighty God. And Jesus is our great example here in this text. As God manifests in the flesh, He was showing us how to be thankful. His whole life was an example of thankfulness. Amen? So I wonder how thankful you are tonight. You know, God really emphasizes in us serving Him as children of God, of us being thankful. Look at what it says there in verse number 11, and Jesus took the loaves, and when He had given thanks, He distributed the disciples, and the disciples of them that were sat down, and likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. Amen? Now, go to verse number 22. Verse 22, the Bible said, the day following, when the people which stood on the other side of the sea saw that there was none of their boat there save the one whereinto His disciples were entered, and that Jesus went not with His disciples into the boat, but that His disciples were gone away alone. Howbeit, there came other boats from Tiberias. Now notice, see what's right there before that word howbeit in verse 23. What's that called? Is that parentheses? That's what it's called. Amen? John's looking back. John didn't write this while it was going on. Isn't that right? I mean, the Holy Ghost inspired him some years later to sit down and to write the Gospel of John. And so, verse number 23, howbeit there came other boats from Tiberias, nigh unto the place where they did eat bread. After that, the Lord had given thanks. When the people therefore saw Jesus was not there, neither His disciples, also took shipping and coming to Capernaum, seeking for Jesus. Here's what stands out to me, amen. Verse 23, he's looking back to that day. And under the inspiration of the Spirit, he didn't take time again. And I know the writers wrote about it. He didn't take time again to talk about how that the Lord kept breaking that bread and kept on handing it out. And what a great miracle that was. But you know what stood out, Brother Jacob, in the mind of John with the Holy Spirit inspiration? Whenever the Lord either looked toward heaven or he bowed his head and he said to his Father, thank you. Amen. That stood out. He said he broke bread, but he didn't say 5,000 men, not counting women and children. He didn't magnify the miracle, amen, but he magnified the Master. He magnified that he was thankful for what he was doing there.
Yeah.
Amen. Hey, we magnify men for how many people they fed, how many people they've reached. And I believe we ought to try to reach all we can. We ought to try to tell as many as we can about the bread of life. But I believe when we stand before God, it ain't necessarily going to be how many that we dealt with, what kind of multitude we reached, but how thankful we were. Amen. Hey, I'll say that there's a lot of men of God in here and people of the family of God. I wonder when's the last time you just bowed your head or got alone somewhere and just said, thank you. Amen. And published him with the voice of thanksgiving. Hey, that's what Jesus did. Amen. Wonder how thankful you are tonight. Amen. You'll find here Jesus, he was thankful for this bread. He was thankful for these benefits that he was handing out there to the children of God and to the sinners that were around there. Amen. How thankful are we tonight? It's God's will to save us. James 1:18 said, of his own will begot us with the word of truth. It's God's will. In 1 Thessalonians 4:3, the Bible said, therefore this is the will of God, even your sanctification. But listen, the Bible tells us in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. We ought to be the most thankful. You ought to be the most thankful person at your workplace. You ought to be the most thankful person in your neighborhood. It ought to be known that you're thankful unto Almighty God. Amen. You'll find out here in this text, the Bible tells us, in Psalm 100, the psalmist said in Psalm 100, verse number 1, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye land. It says, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. He said, we're his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and his truth endureth to all generations. Hey, thank God for truth in our day when it's been denied and mocked at and scoffed at. Amen. I'm glad to have a book right here that's truth. Amen. So that I guess, Brother Bill, I am a 747 preacher. Amen. I want to say about Jesus here, he took those loaves and he bowed his head or lifted his eyes toward heaven, whatever way he did it, and he said, thank you. Amen. See, he was thankful for that bread. He was thankful. Knowing how the Lord was, I'm sure he said, I'm thankful for the lad. I'm thankful for the loaves. I'm thankful for the laborers that are handing it out. And listen, he was glad that the lost got to be there and hear what he said about those loaves. Amen. And so thank God for our Lord being thankful. Now take your Bible. Take your Bible and go over here to Luke chapter number 10. Luke chapter number 10. The Bible says in verse number 17 of Luke chapter number 10. The Bible said, and the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Listen, in verse 17, he had given them purpose to go out and do what he had called them to do. And verses 18 and 19, he had given them power to go out and do what he had given them to do. Amen. But hey, in verse number 20, he gave them the right perspective about the purpose and power he'd given unto them. It wasn't for them necessarily to rejoice about and to boast about. Hey, we shouldn't rejoice and boast about anything we do for God in ourselves. Amen. But hey, the Bible tells us, he said, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. In verse 21, he said, in that hour. That's telling me after he said that, the Bible said, in that hour Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and has revealed them unto babes. I'm glad, thank God, Jesus was thankful for that book. Amen. Amen. In heaven, that our names are written in if you're saved tonight. I dare say that's probably talking about the Lamb's Book of Life. Amen. I want to be thankful that my name's written in heaven. I spent a lot of my life as a young man playing baseball and was playing college ball and all of that. And there was aspirations and thoughts about my name maybe being written in Cooperstown. I ain't got no interest in that. I sure am glad God called me to preach. I didn't give up anything. But you know what, dear friend? I'm glad tonight that nothing can change, that my name's been written in heaven. Hey, nothing can take that out. Hey, on my best day, my name's written in heaven. On my worst day, my name is written in heaven. And you know what? I believe we've lost our thankfulness because we don't rejoice in our day. I didn't grow up around shouting churches. It's biblical, amen. When I got around it, I knew it was something I had never been around, but I tell you, there was a spirit on the inside. But I tell you what, Brother Williamson, I go back around some of those churches and there ain't much rejoicing anymore. A thankful people is a rejoicing people.
Amen.
And it ain't about just showing out down at the church house. I'm telling you what, God lives on the inside of you for the most part. Unless I'm preaching, I'm kind of quiet and reserved fella. And I don't say this to magnify myself. And it embarrasses my flesh a lot of times. But I thank God for the times I can ride down the road and he lets me know I'm his and he's mine. And lets me know, thank God, my name's been written down in heaven. And I'll rejoice riding down the road, thank God. And hey, the church house is a spillover of our pride. Private time with God.
Yes.
Yes. Amen.
Yes, sir. Yes.
You know where the rejoicing went? Out the door with the thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Out the door with the thankfulness. I believe, Brother Josh, a thankful people is rejoicing people. Isn't that what Jesus did in that same hour? Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, Father, that you revealed it unto them. Hey, thank God. When's the last time you rejoiced that your name's written in heaven? Amen. Well, let's go over here to Luke chapter number 22, and that's where I'll quit in about 2 hours and 15 minutes. Thank you, brother. Luke chapter number 22. I'm just trying to mind God tonight. I'm hoping he'll hit wherever you need this tonight. But I promise you we'll never get to heaven and God say, you thank me too much. Amen.
Amen.
The Bible said every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. I tell you what, thank God, we ought to be the most thankful people there is on the planet. And let me say this while you're turning to Luke 22, and I got to fill up a lot of time to keep my word, amen. Your children are not going to learn to be thankful by their own nature. Amen. What happened to yes, sir, no, sir, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, please, and thank you? That's not in my nature. That's not in your nature. And I'm not saying tonight make your flesh do something, but if you're a child of God, there's a desire to be thankful unto the Father.
Yeah.
Isn't that what? We got the life of Christ in us. We got the mind of Christ in us. Amen. But hey, we need to teach thankfulness. Look here in Luke 22. Verse 17, the Bible said, and he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. Now, this is the cup of the Passover. Y'all with me? This is the cup of the Passover, a picture of the Old Testament symbolic shadow of what Jesus is about to do. Amen. So he gave thanks for that Old Testament cup. That Old Testament symbolic cup, if I can put it that way. And then it says here in verse number 19, and he took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. I feel like tonight I ain't got this over, but it ain't up to me to get it over. Amen. It ain't got to feel good to me to help you, but I'll tell you what, tonight he was thankful for that bread that he handed out. He was thankful for that book where their name was written in heaven, and he rejoiced over it. Do you know what? He was thankful. He was thankful for his body that was going to be broken. Does that hit you yet? It hadn't happened yet, but in the mind of God, he stood as a lamb slain from the foundation of the world, amen. But he was manifest in these last times for you. Amen. You know what he was saying? He was saying, thank you for Psalm 22. Thank you that my hands are going to be pierced. Thank you that they're going to spit in my face. Thank you that they're going to mock me. Thank you for what I'm going to go through. He was saying thank you for Isaiah 53 that I'm going to be wounded for their transgressions. Thank you that I'm going to be bruised for their iniquities. Thank you that the chastisement of their peace is going to be upon me. Amen. But when's the last time you thought about the broken body of Jesus Christ? Amen. And just stopped and said, thank you. Yes. Amen. Amen. Romans 8 says, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Yes. Amen. Where's Logan at? He gone? Come here, Logan. I usually do this illustration of my sons here. But you'll work for tonight. Sit down there if you would, amen. You look over there. I always thought about just those soldiers spitting his face, but you know what? They started the spitting long before he got in the hall of Praetorium. They started the smiting long before they... He got down there to Pilate's hall, and listen, long before he ever got there physically, he stood there and he took that bread of the Lord's Supper, we call it, amen, and he, about right before he broke it in symbolic of his body, he said, thank you. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. Now, if Tucker was sitting here tonight, he works a little better, I guess, because he is my son, but Logan will work, amen. Maybe I need to get his daddy up here. Spit in his face. Don't really. What would you think if he come up here and spit right in his face? Amen. He is stricken and smitten of God. You know what? It wasn't just one or two of them. It'd be something if this daddy took spit right in his son's face. But can you imagine if he said, hey, all you men gather around here and we're going to spit in his face and we're going to slap him in his face and we're going to blindfold him and say, tell us who it is. What would y'all think about him? There's a difference between him and the Heavenly Father. I understand it. Y'all go back to your seat. I hope that made sense. That's really what it's like. He didn't spare him from the spitting. He didn't spare him from the mocking. Amen. He didn't spare him from death. Amen. The Bible said over there in like manner, he took the cup. He took the cup. And Matthew 26 said he gave thanks for the blood that was shed. You know what that river of crimson, y'all was talking about the blood, wasn't you, brother? Yes. Yeah. Amen. Did I read that right? You was talking about that precious fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. He knew he was going to have to offer his body to sanctify us unto God. But I tell you what, he placed his blood by the eternal Spirit on the mercy seat for every sin you committed before you were saved, every sin you committed after you got born again, and every sin you're going to commit before you die and leave this earth. And you know what he done? He said, thank you. Thank When's the last time you just stopped?
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. And said thank you for shedding your precious blood on the behalf of a wretch like me. He said, this do in remembrance of me. I said, a rejoicing people is a thankful people. Reminded people's a thankful people. Amen. I'm glad he was willing to shed his blood. Oh, but we've got it nowadays, you know. We come into the church house. Song leader says, turn to the saved by the blood of the crucified one. And if you, especially if you come to Sooner Rose Baptist Church. He's going to sing another verse? Man. All five verses? Y'all get what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
It don't mean anything to us.
Right.
Amen? I tell you what, Jesus said, thank you, Father, my body's going to be broken. He said, thank you, Father, my blood's going to be shed.
Right.
When's the last time you said that? Yep. Amen? Well, that's what Jesus was thankful for. He is thankful over there in John chapter number 6. Amen. Excuse me, I'm in John chapter number 11. Old Lazarus was in the tomb and he is dead and Jesus wept. The Bible says that Jesus, I thank thee, Father, that thou hast heard me. And you always hear me. I tell you what, thank God in this day, I'm glad that he's seated at the right hand of the throne of God. I'm glad he was glad and willing for his body to be broken and his blood to be shed on my behalf tonight. And I'm glad, thank God, that he ever liveth to make intercession.
Yeah.
The Bible said in Philippians, one of those chapters over there, it said in everything, it says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Wonder how thankful you really are. Do you rejoice? You ever sit around and just be reminded in your mind about Calvary?
Amen.
Hope I made some sense tonight. But it just convicted my heart, Brother Josh, that the Lord bow his head, raise his hands toward heaven, however he did it, and say, thank you.
Amen.
When's the last time you just got alone? I'm glad God's alive and God's real and God's well. Amen. I'll say again, if you're here lost tonight, best way you can thank him is to believe on him. Amen. Come to him. We're behind on Thanksgiving when you get caught up. Amen.
Yeah.
Brother, you can have that extra time.